Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. God began to lay this message on my heart back at the first of the week. And as I began to formulate it in my mind as to what God would have me to speak on this morning, and I want to read a scripture to you from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I was trying to remember, and I couldn't, so I guess it's not important, a definition I'd heard that was on a television program back probably 40 years ago. And somebody saying, you know, it's believing in something that, you know, the person in their right mind wouldn't believe in sometimes or something like that. And sometimes it does seem a little outlandish maybe or a little off the wall as to what we believe in, to what God can do as far as the world is concerned. But you know what? That's what faith is sometimes. It's out believing sometimes for things that are not possible in the natural that God can do. And you find evidences of that throughout the scripture of things that God did that in the world or in the natural could not be done. Well, I wanted to read you that same verse again in the Holloman Christian Standard Bible. And it says, "Now faith is the reality," then in parentheses, "assurance of what is hoped for, the proof or conviction of what is not seen." Think about it. It's the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. A song came to my mind that we sang years ago. I remember the church I grew up in when I was a teenager. Our youth choir sang this song, I believe, and I'm pretty sure that the adult choir sang it. I've heard it sung by numerous different people, and I tried to find a copy of it as far as that we could play back today because I wanted you to kind of hear it, but we just couldn't really find anything that was satisfactory. So I'm going to read the words to you, and it's a song called "We've Come This Far by Faith," and some of you may have heard this song before. It's an old song, and there's probably a dozen different versions of it floating around on the internet, but anyway, here's how it starts out, or this is actually the chorus. "We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet." And then it's, "Oh, oh, 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 can't turn around. We've come this far by faith." And then the first verse is, "Don't be discouraged when trouble's in your life. He'll bear your burdens and move all misery and strife. Thank God we've come this far by faith." And we won't take time with some of the other verses here, but that's the gist of the song, "We've Come This Far by Faith." The Apostle Paul, as he wrote the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, which is sometimes referred to, I think I mentioned this not too long ago, mentioned as the Hall of Faith chapter, talks about Noah and the faith that he had when God told him to build an ark. Never been done before. In fact, I don't know, Noah may have scratched his head a little bit and said, "Excuse me, Lord, but what's an ark? You know? What is that thing that you're asking me to build? I mean, I've never seen one, never heard of one. Nobody else has either." But yet by faith he stepped out when all the world came against him just about. Told him how stupid he was and how foolish he was and laughed at him, made fun of him. And sometimes as Christians we step out by faith, leaning on the Lord, doing what God has called us to do, and the world all around us looks at us and says, "How stupid you are for doing this. Don't you know any better?" So there was Noah that stepped out by faith. And then there was Abraham living in the big city of Ur of the Chaldees. God speaks to him and says, I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. And Abraham packs up his goods, puts them all in his U-Haul camel, and takes off down the road. Didn't have no map from the auto club. And in today's world, heaven forbid, didn't have a GPS. I'm going, God, where you're going to take me. And did he get in a straight line and get there right away? No. It took a while. But he says, I'm going to the place that God is leading to. Another scripture says Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And we today as Christians, as children of God, we are looking for that same city that Abraham was looking for, that city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham's attained it now. We've still got it to go. And we're still having to truck down that road by faith. Abraham went through some hard times. And guess what? Abraham made some mistakes along the way. And I know some people think that as a Christian, you are supposed to be perfect. After all, you have that little halo that shines above your head.
Not me. That's crooked.
I will have to say, Dee, I have yet in all my 70-some years of life have never, ever, I don't care who he was, seen somebody walking around that actually had an actual halo above their head. Or maybe they had one that they made up and stuck there for a play or something, but they haven't got no halo up there. They all make mistakes at some time or another. But you're trusting in the Lord. You're walking this walk by faith. When we get up, actually when we go to bed tonight, actually back up a little more, when we leave this place this morning, we're leaving here by faith that we're going to get to the next place we're going, because there is no guarantee that we will get there. We do a lot of stuff by faith. In fact, we do almost everything by faith. We came here this morning by faith that there would actually be heat. Because we've had heat and then we didn't have heat. Then we flipped switches and they unflipped and they did this and they did that. So we came here by faith this morning that we would have heat. And we had heat. There's Jacob. Boy, Jacob messed some stuff up along the line, didn't he? You'll go back and read his story. Cheated his brother out of his birthright. Did all kinds of stuff. His brother wants to kill him then. He hightails it. Go live with his uncle. All this stuff that goes on. Gets in a battle with an angel. Wrestles with the angel. There. When you get in a battle with an angel, I got news for you, you're probably going to lose.
He won.
He won, though, but most of the time you're going to lose. Anyway, here he is. He's got all of these things going on in his life, and yet God changes his name and said, you are now Israel. And we know now that as a nation, as a people, because he was still fulfilling part of the promise that God made to Abraham. Abraham didn't live long enough, even though he lived to be several hundred years old. He didn't live long enough to see all the fulfillment of the promise that God made to him. But God is still fulfilling that promise. He took it by faith and it's still being fulfilled today, thousands of years later. And there's Joseph. Think about it, Joseph. Daddy's pride and joy. Goes out to his brothers. Na, 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 na. I had this dream, and you're going to be bowing down to me. I have to say that's really not too smart when there's more of them than there are of you. Yeah. You know? But he did it on multiple occasions. They got fed up. One brother finally talked him out of killing him. Said, let's just give him to this caravan that's going by. Let's sell him. And he ends up in Egypt, basically a slave. But he walks the walk by faith while he's there. And where does he end up? Second in command. Walk the walk by faith. You know what? I imagine there are probably some times that he's sitting there and wondering what he's doing while he's in the jail. God, what's going on? And I know sometimes we have things happen in our life. We don't understand what's going on, Lord. What's going on? Why is this happening to me? But we go on and we walk the walk by faith. Moses. Of course, Moses is well known to everybody. You know, he's the baby that his mama hit him and the bulrush is out there. Has his sister stand by, keep an eye on him. Pharaoh's daughter finds him. She takes him home. He gets raised in the palace. He's living the life of luxury while his people are in slavery and bondage. One day, he gets a little fed up, kills a guy, has to run for his life, and he spends the next 40 years of his life out in the wilderness taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. I wonder, did Moses ever think back, I wonder what my life would be like if I hadn't killed that guy back then. You know, I'd still be in the palace. I probably would still be in good favor. But that wasn't the life that God had planned for him. And Moses is out here now, not living really the life of luxury, but he's still taking a walk by faith because God speaks to him out of the midst of the burning bush, tells him what he wants to do. And he spends the last 40 years of his life leading a group of people through a wilderness, going to a place that he actually never gets to himself. And sometimes we start that walk by faith on a journey that God is leading us on, and quite honestly, we may never get there ourselves. But God has started that journey, and the work that He wanted done, He will fulfill. You know, the Bible talks about some plant or sow, some water, some reap. And sometimes you're just the person that starts the journey, and somebody else maybe finishes the journey, finishes the work that gets it done. But we do it by faith because God has spoken to our heart to do this thing, and we do it because we have faith and trust in God. And I know today there are a lot of preachers out there preaching faith. Faith! I'll talk about faith. Plant your faith today. Send me $50 and God will bless you. My brother-in-law said, well, why don't he practice what he preaches and send me the $50 and get blessed? You know, faith is not how much money you put in the offering or you send some preacher. Faith is doing what God called you to do, sometimes no matter how ridiculous it sounds. Because when you start a journey, sometimes you have no idea how you're going to get there. Rahab, she wasn't even, all these other people are part, what you might say, of the house of Israel, even though some of them before Israel came along, but they're in the line there. But then all of a sudden you got this lady who was an outsider by the name of Rahab that crops up in the picture here in the Hall of Faith. Because she, by faith, when they went to conquer Jericho, hid the spies. And they promised her that when they came back, she and her household would be saved. And when the walls came down, only her section of the wall remained. Because by faith, she has said, I'm going to do what I think is right. The prophet Habakkuk wrote in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Behold, he that lifteth up himself, his mind is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. And again, I want to read that one from the Holland Christian Standard Bible, which I kind of like the way it read here. It says, look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity, but the righteous one will live by faith. That's pretty neat. You know, there are a lot of people out there that have inflated egos today. But the righteous, those who are in right standing with God, will live by faith. The Apostle Paul later quoted that verse as he wrote the epistle to the Romans. In Romans 1:17, for it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And again, he wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3, verse 11, and that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther, who is considered the father of Protestantism, as he tacked his demands more or less on the wall there at that castle, I believe it was Wittenberg, and he sent this on the world, and he says, the just shall live by faith. It is not what rules you follow. It is not the law that you follow. It's not all of these other things that some man comes along and says, you got to do this or you got to do that, because man can be wrong, but the just shall live by his faith in God. And it's our faith in Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for our sins, rose again on the third day, and through him we have forgiveness of sin. Interestingly enough, the word faith is only mentioned twice in the Old Testament, but 245 times in the New Testament. Faith is something important. Jesus mentioned the word faith a number of times. For in Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it to thee as thou desirest. And her daughter was made whole at that moment. In another place, Matthew 14, 31, so immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt? And that particular verse is talking about Peter. When Peter, Jesus, he sees Jesus walking on the water, and he hops out of the boat, starts to walk to him, and looks down at the water and starts to sink. And sometimes when we begin to do something for God, we start to look at the circumstances around us and we begin to sink. But Jesus said, now, little faith, why did you look at the circumstance here? Trust in him. Then he goes on. Matthew 17, 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as much as is a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Every once in a while, and we think about it, probably all of us at some time or another have seen a mustard seed. Little tiny thing. Most time if you see one, like in a Bible bookstore or something, it'll be in something that kind of makes it look bigger than what it is, because it's real tiny. Speak to this mountain, and it'll be removed. I heard of an incident, and I forget which country it was in. I believe it was an orphanage, if I remember correctly, and they were having a problem. The mountain was blocking their sunlight. You know, if you live in the mountains sometimes, you only get a little bit of sunlight during the day. Because if you got a mountain over here and a mountain over here, the sun comes up, and it's only while it's directly overhead you get direct sunlight. You know, they needed more sunlight. So they begin to step out by faith and pray, God, remove this mountain. And the government decided the mountain needed to be removed and stepped in with the bulldozers and whatever and started taking it down. God doesn't always, when he answers our prayers or meets the need that we have, he doesn't always send a lightning bolt down from heaven to do the deed or something like that. But he works through other people sometimes to see that it gets done. And it doesn't always happen instantaneous, but if we live by faith, we're going to trust that God is going to meet the need. Luke chapter 7, verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and said and turned unto him and said to the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Here he's speaking of the Roman centurion who come up and he said, Jesus, my servant is sick. He's about to die. And Jesus is ready to go, lay hands on the guy. And he says, look, Jesus, I'm a man of authority. And if I tell somebody to do something, they're going to do it. And Jesus, you got the power. All you got to do is say that my servant is healed, and he'll be healed. Now, this is a guy that really wasn't supposed to be all versed in all that was going on. I mean, he was supposed to be, in essence, a heathen. He was a Roman centurion. But he had faith that if Jesus just spoke the word, his servant would be healed. When they were in the lake, the storm was about to overtake them. Jesus, wake up, Jesus, we're about to die. And all he had to do was say, peace, be still. He's got the power, he's got the authority. It says then, and he answered unto them, where is your faith? In Luke chapter 8, verse 25. Faith is an important part of our life as Christians. I want to go back to a line from that song that we shared earlier. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. Trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet. God has never failed me yet. Now, that doesn't mean that the answer always turned out the way I wanted it to. But he didn't fail me. Sometimes, if he answered our prayer the way we wanted to, we would be worse off than we started out. I've told people, and I probably told it here in this church back when I was a young preacher, my early 20s, I decided I needed a Cadillac. After all, I was a preacher. I was a young evangelist. I needed a Cadillac. So, God let me get a Cadillac. I had that car probably only about 7-8 months. Maybe a little bit longer than that. Burned oil. Air conditioner went out. I don't know what all else went wrong with it. I'll tell you this, I have never desired a Cadillac since that day. I wish he'd have let me have the Ford instead, you know. Because that's what I ended up. I ended up with a Ford Falcon. 1960 Ford Falcon. I went from a nice piece of junk to a worse piece of junk. But I got taught a lesson. I never wanted a Cadillac again. Now, if anybody here wants a Cadillac and you feel you can afford a Cadillac and all that, I got no problem with that. I don't want one. So, as we look back on our life, and I want you to look back on your life as well while we're going through this part here. But we're here today because of faith. Really, we are. We're here today because of faith. And not always even our faith gets through to us. You know, sometimes it gets us through it. Our faith is not always what gets us to the place we gotta be. Sometimes it's the faith of other people that gets us to the place we want to be in. I was thinking about this just a little over 2.5 years ago in June 2012. I spent, about almost 4 weeks, I guess it was, or close to 4 weeks, in the hospital, being in the hospital 3 separate times during that period of time. Being put in the hospital the last time when the doctor's saying, basically, I've never seen a person conscious, let alone alive, in the condition you're in right now. I don't remember most of it. Part of what I don't remember, my wife and my daughter tell me didn't happen that way. I couldn't have faith for myself. Quite frankly, I was in the point there that to me it didn't matter because I was wavering. It would have been just as easy to have tipped it to the other side. But other people had faith. Other people prayed. And their faith touched God. And I stand here today because, in some part, because of the faith of others. And throughout my life, in some cases, this has been the faith of other people that brought me through the situation. And we all live our lives, as I said earlier, by faith. And I was looking back. I started in the ministry when I was about 18 years old or 17 years old, something like that. I didn't have connections. I didn't know any big name preachers that could get doors open for me. All I knew was a preacher that had a service at a mission on Skid Row. And that's where I started. Was at a mission on Skid Row, preaching there. But I went by faith that God would open the doors. And as time went on, God opened the doors. By the age of 20, I'd made two missions trips to Mexico by faith. One of them I didn't even know I was going to make, wasn't even planning to make it. I just finished my first year of Bible college. My dad was has laid off from work temporarily, and he was cleaning the church while the church janitor wasn't there, and I went to help him that day. And the next thing I know, the pastor comes up and says, come down to my office, introduces me to this lady I'd never seen before. She attended one of the local Baptist churches, and she said, I lead a youth group on missions trips to Mexico, and she said, I was praying, and God told me to come to this church because there's somebody here at this church that's supposed to go to Mexico with us. She stepped out by faith that somebody was going to be there that was supposed to go to Mexico with the group. And I accepted. And I, by faith, went. I didn't have any money to go, but God worked it out. A week of eating baby food, basically, because we had to take our own food. Baby food, junior baby food was the easiest thing to take. I went twice that way. Mary and I went to Guyana and to Trinidad twice by faith. We didn't have the money to go. We didn't have any big supporters that were sending us large checks. But we stepped out by faith that God was going to supply the need. And we went. We were on the radio for almost 20 years. Our radio budget per month was more than what the budget of this church is. Again, we did it by faith. We were broadcasting the last probably 10, 15 years, maybe, not quite maybe that long, 12 years, in an area where we weren't even asking for people to send us donations because they didn't have any money they could send us. And if they sent us some money, it was worthless in the U.S. Get a check for $1,000 and you go to the bank, okay, you might could get 50 cents out of this, you know, because it was the way cash or the money exchange works. But by faith, we stepped out and God provided. He opened the doors. We moved to Tennessee by faith. We had a nice home, a beautiful home, the place we were going to stay at for the rest of our lives. They were going to carry us out of there when they were taking us to the cemetery. That's when we were leaving. We were in that house 6 years, and God spoke, move east. I didn't know how far east. I thought he was still talking California, and I said, that's a desert, Lord. I really don't want to go to the desert. And he said, that's not where I'm sending you. We moved here. We took that step by faith. Have I ever looked back? Yeah, I've looked back and I thought, well, sometimes what would things be like if I had to stay there? And every time I look back, I say, oh, I'm sure glad I didn't. Because I took the step and we made the move that God wanted us to make. My wife gave up a good job to move here, but she stepped out by faith to move here. I got lost my job because I was moving here, because I told the owner I'm going to be leaving. And he said, okay, if things get tough, you're fired. So, and he did it nicely. He did everything he could to help me. I don't want you to misunderstand that. But we had to step out by faith. 10 years ago, we started this church by faith. And I've had people stand at me and look at me and say, this church will fail. It's never going to get anywhere. And I know some people look around and they still think it's not getting anywhere. Because maybe in the eyes of man, it's not a mega church in the sense that man looks at it. But we're reaching out to people around the world every day of the week. Because we've stepped out by faith. I'd like to look back and say we were able to start this church with an abundant supply of funds and on a place to go. But we started this church, our first Sunday service was in my living room. At the close of the service, we moved to the building we were going to occupy, which we occupied for about 7 years, or 7.5 years, something like that. We had enough money to pay the first month's rent. That was it. Talked the owner into giving us some free time in there. And we're still here. We're in a much better place than we were back then. And you know what? We're not paying any more money than what we were back then. Because we've stepped out by faith. I'm leaning on the Lord. That's the only place I have to go. I have no one else to fall back on. I have to trust God. And as I look at you, I would almost guarantee that you all are in the same boat I'm in. You do what you do, and you live how you have to, and you're taking it by faith because you don't have any big backing behind you. I don't see any millionaires sitting here, at least where you're doing a good job of hiding it if you are. But I don't think any of you are. But you're living daily by faith. You got to trust God. In Guyana, I've told you this before, I tell you again, the pastor's daughter, one of the last trips, she fell off the porch. Guyana houses are built up one story high off the ground because it's below sea level, that area. So that's because of flooding. They build the houses one story off the ground. She fell onto the concrete below. They took her to the hospital. We got one piece of x-ray film. We don't know if she's bad enough to use this piece of x-ray film. If she gets worse tomorrow, we'll use the x-ray film. Send her home. And he told me, we have to live by faith. We have nothing else. And sometimes we really live by faith when we're in that boat. But a lot of people, they get something, maybe a little money in their pocket, and we stop living by faith. And a lot of Christians in America have stopped living by faith because they got a few bucks in their pocket or a little money in the bank account. Or maybe they got a 401k somewhere. And they say, oh, I got it now, man. And I got all these nice doctors. I can go down. Nothing against doctors, nothing. But I tell you, sometimes we put too much faith in the thing that man can do instead of what God can do. We have to live by faith. We're still here by faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved by faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. We are saved by faith. If we had to do the works, probably none of us would make it if we had to do it by works. If we had to buy our way in, probably only 1% of the population would make it. Maybe not even that much. If we had to buy, if there was a way to buy your way in. But there is no way to buy your way in. So it's not how much money you got in your pocket. It's not how popular you are. It's not who you know. And I know there's the theory that operates in a lot of things. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, yes, in a sense, it's who you know. It's because we know Jesus. And because we have faith in what he did for us, we can be saved. So we are doing it by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to write in Romans 8:24, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For how can a man hope for that which he seeth? We don't always see the things, but we have the faith. I can't see tomorrow. I can only speculate about tomorrow. But I have faith that God is going to take care of it. God is going to take care of it. And by faith, that's the way we live. Father, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, that you would touch each heart and life that is here. And Father, if anyone here today needs something special in their life, I pray that you would meet that need. And while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if there's anyone here that has a special need today that they want prayer for, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Well, we want to go to the Lord in prayer then for the needs that are on the prayer list. Larry's going to come up in just a moment and take the rest of the requests, but let's remember Faye Price, that's Katie's sister, and she has a problem with her esophagus.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.